Good morning, welcome back. We'll come back into session, and I believe we'll jump back up here to item number eight with Emily Keel, strategic plan update. So Emily, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, commissioners. For those listening in live, my name is Emily Keel. I'm the communications director for the department here in Pierre. I've got two presentations, kind of just looking ahead at the agenda, so I'll be up here for, I'm hoping, no more than 40 minutes total. But first, I'm going to talk to you about a strategic plan update, and then I'm going to go into the structure and overview of our communications team. So the strategic plan PowerPoint here that I'm going to be giving, I'll review the purpose of the plan just for the record and for those listening in, go through the mission, vision, goals, and values. I'll give a recap of our fall review session, which was held in October. I'll talk a little bit about some strategic priorities, talk again about the completed priorities, which you do have a handout in your commission booklets. I'll reference that a little bit later here. And then I'll talk about what's next. So the purpose of the plan, as many of you know, it's a set of long-range goals and proactive objectives. We have those shorter-term strategies that help us establish measurable outcomes and accountability. It's where that workload piece comes into play. And then it's a tool to evaluate our programs and processes. It helps to guide our budget and then ensures that there's a clear understanding of priorities within the department, with our staff, with our customers, and with all of you. And then it helps to provide for some consistent messaging. The vision, mission, goals, and values. So starting with the vision, and I do have to thank Hillary Meyer yesterday for plugging in the mission and vision during her presentation and really breaking that down into what she does in her everyday workload with the environmental review section of our department. But this vision, who do we strive to be? It's that 30,000 foot level view, where we will conserve our state's outdoor heritage to enhance the quality of life for current and future generations. That mission is the everyday, what do we do? We provide sustainable outdoor recreational opportunities through responsible management of our state's parks, fisheries, and wildlife by fostering partnerships, cultivating stewardship, and safely connecting people with the outdoors. Our goals. We have four broad range goals. With opportunities, this is where we want to optimize the quantity and the quality of sustainable hunting, fishing, camping, trapping, and other outdoor recreational opportunities. Where we see resources come in is this is where we are the stewards of our state's outdoor resources when it comes to maintaining and improving those for sustainability. Confidence, this is where we instill trust from the people we serve through transparency and accountability. And then excellence is really the goal that's all about our staff, taking care of the people who are leading this agency and developing and empowering them to be engaged and well-trained. With our values, these are the ethical foundation of our department and the core principles of how we conduct business. Excellence, stewardship, integrity, and compassion are not just words at Game Fish and Parks. It's the beliefs in how we do business. So I went over those very briefly. I want to recap the fall review session. So as mentioned earlier, this was held October 24th and 25th here in Pierre, where leadership staff really highlighted the utilization and the integration of the plan. So what does that mean? This is where they really highlighted the work of the plan through storytelling and communications. And you saw examples of that yesterday and throughout every commission meeting that there is. When staff are really talking about their programs, their areas, their projects, it all ties back to our strategic plan and the priorities that have been set. And this is exactly what Secretary Hepler envisioned. So also during this time, progress reports on each of the objectives and key priorities were provided. So this is kind of the elbows on the table process where everybody's giving detailed updates on tactics and ways to modify particular strategies if something's not working as well as planned. And then finally, a discussion was had on accomplishments to date, and I'll get into some of those completed priorities here in a little bit. So strategic priorities, the few I'm going to go through here on the next six slides is not an all-inclusive list, and they are not in any particular order. So the DEER plan obviously has been front and center in our department for almost the last year. I didn't write anything underneath that right now because we will have more to come later today here. The access to inaccessible landlocked public lands. This strategy is to open up the 50,000 acres across the state by 2020 to public hunting. And Mark Norton plugged this one a little bit yesterday, and you've heard Kevin talk about this repeatedly. And I believe Mark Norton mentioned yesterday that there's 20,000 acres of walk-in area, I believe. So my number might be wrong up there, but as of October 1st, 2018, 8,785 acres of landlocked public lands have been opened up as a result of enrolling the additional 18,000 or 20,000, I believe the number was that Mark mentioned yesterday, acres of walk-in area. A landowner mailing is also scheduled to be sent in January regarding information and education on walk-in areas to really move to that other strategy that Mark talked to you about yesterday about increasing private hunting land access to enroll the 200,000 acres by 2020. These two priorities are very closely related, so just making note of that. The non-resident discussion, Scott Simpson's been leading that for our department. And so you'll continue to hear more about that, but that continues to be a priority within our department. Did I miss a page? Okay, sorry. Recruitment, retention, reactivation, R3. So what does that mean? This is really saving the heritage of hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation by building a bigger audience and engaging diverse community-driven partnerships. It's where we recruit new participants while increasing participation rates of current or lapsed outdoor recreationalists. As many of you know, this is where we all become advocates of R3. Just like we have of our strategic plan and many other initiatives that we've set forward. While we've excelled at providing important mentoring and programming opportunities for our youth, we've been very negligent in the adult mentorship opportunities. And you've heard Tanaya and Scott talk about this as well. Approximately 6,000 programs were delivered to youth under the age of 12 last year. Any other population who received programming, again, was negligible. So we've really shifted our focus on the communications team and with the education staff to be more inclusive to whole families, teens, college-based students, and adults. And just to plug a partnership that we engaged in earlier this fall with Powderhook, it's a digital partnership where folks have to download a free app that connects adults who are new to hunting and fishing with mentors in their communities. And the app enables novices to ask hunting and fishing advice from digital mentors, find places to hunt, fish, or shoot, and notifies them when local events are coming up. I don't have any numbers in front of me regarding who's engaged in that right now, but at the time we got into the partnership, we had like a list of 30 different mentees who were looking to be mentored. So this is just an image up here of our current marketing focus of, one, taking the time or taking the field, and then two, engage in the outdoors and engage in this mentorship, digital mentorship program. The Outdoor Forum Series, Arden talked about this a little bit yesterday, but he's been the lead on behalf of our department here. The Ag Forum is the next one coming up, which is December 18th in Sioux Falls. These discussions provide all groups an opportunity to listen, learn, and share key issues facing South Dakota's natural resources. And this is really where that building trust, building confidence comes in, with those strong partnerships that allow the department to promote understanding, encourage engagement, and find successful solutions to complex resource management issues. Chronic wasting disease. You're going to continue to hear more about that from our department and from our staff. Outlined on the screen are five different objectives related to that disease management program and really bringing awareness of chronic wasting disease front and center. A stakeholder meeting was held last week. Commissioner Locken, you're part of that, and so perhaps you've been also briefing your fellow commissioners on that process. We'll be launching a public awareness communications campaign here early in the year, too, to correspond with all these efforts. Habitat. So the Habitat Conservation Foundation and the Habitat Pays Outreach campaign will again take center stage into 2019 as well. This is where we continue to focus efforts on putting more habitat on the landscape through new partnerships, upcoming habitat workshops, and then donations and new projects. We're also overseeing some communications directives that are coming from our department and the new administration to ensure that we're carrying these out effectively and timely. A couple PR items to note for you all that are coming up. South Dakota Public Broadcasting Focus Program is going to feature Christine Hamilton, who's the chair of the Habitat Conservation Foundation, Tom Kirschman, Sean Blanchett, who's the executive director of both our Parks and Wildlife Foundation and Habitat Conservation Foundation, and then Steve Halverson, who's a producer here in Central South Dakota on December 13th. So again, getting some media coverage off of that and then being able to help share that story as we move into the new year. And then I just mentioned that the Ag Forum coming up then on December 18th. And more to come on that for sure. The Aquatic Invasive Species Summit, that's also on December 13th next week. Mike Greiner was up here yesterday talking about that. AIS continues to be a high priority. Aquatic Invasive Species, or AIS, continues to be a very high priority to help slow the spread. And then department funding awareness. I'm not sure how much you guys have heard about this, but that infographic that is on the screen, if you don't have a handout already, you will be getting one. And so this is going to be where my team really focuses in on building awareness of the North American wildlife conservation model to new and current customers. It ties back to R3 and just that 100 years of tradition campaign that we've been doing all year. We've heard a lot from customers, current, new, that really just don't know how we're funded, how we get money, or how the money goes out. And so we're looking at, we've got this infographic that will serve as information to you guys as well as legislators, new and old, coming into session this year. And then we're going to expand on that through a video series. And Commissioner Olson, you've committed to be a part of that, so I want to thank you. And don't forget that we need you after this meeting to tape that first one. Okay, thank you. So again, more to come on that. And that project, I'll have one of my team members, her name's Sheree Mortensen, who's going to take the lead on that, showcase some of the products that will come from that here later in the new year. Okay, so completed priorities. And this is where I might turn to your commission booklets, and I see some of you already have it open, but we did develop a new one-pager here that really highlights the completed projects and where we're at with our strategic plan in a visually compelling way. So as I go through some of the completed priorities, again, not an all-inclusive list, over the next couple slides, I would just ask you to also take a look at that, and that's also for your benefit as you leave here today. So within the opportunities goal, we looked at, this is not an all-inclusive list, so improving the urban fishing opportunities at over 10 locations. There's a multitude of those improvements across the state, a couple at the Redland Arts Center in Watertown, working with the City of Sioux Falls to repair the washout levees at Family Park. There's a cooperative project with the City of South Shore on a new entrance road to Punishwoman Lake. And so there's a few different examples there. When it comes to rules reduction, you guys were front and center when we were going through quite a few of these examples, like the requirement for mandatory bow hunter education being removed in June, the removal of several archery equipment restrictions back in July, the hunting group size over 20 was repealed, firearm archery accompaniment rules were modified, moving the archery deer hunting season opener to September 1st, and then extending the spring turkey hunting season to the end of May. Those all wrap up into making it easier to do business with us too. So thank you for your efforts there. A lot of work was done to tackle all of that. 4,500 campers completed reviews with 91% rating with their experience with an A, and that's been pretty sustainable over the past few years too, with that rating. Moving down into resources, there's a few new aquatic research projects that came to a head in 2018. A better understanding of how well stocked muskie survive in South Dakota waters was identified as one project. So we have staff working with the University of Nebraska at Kearney to determine stocked muskie survivals, preferred habitats, and movement within South Dakota waters. And excuse me if I stumbled on my words there, I am not a fish expert. And so I had to ask for, I had some other language in there and I had no idea what it meant. So I had to call in Gino Adams and ask him to give me some language that I could actually understand, and I still stumbled on it. So, but again, another aquatic research project here is walleye tagging efforts through a project on walleye dynamics in western South Dakota irrigation reservoirs, and then rainbow trout post-stocking survival of catchable sized trout in the Black Hills. And then looking here at the second bullet here, continued expansion of cooperative positions to deliver conservation on private lands. There was one that was executed, an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, with the American Bird Conservancy to place another cooperatively funded private lands biologist in Buffalo, South Dakota. This position is funded by a National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant awarded to World Wildlife Fund, with matching funds provided by our department and others. And then there's also potential expansion of the Pheasants Forever Farm Bill biologists that are across the state. And then, of course, continuing the awareness of cultural and historic resources. This accounted for, 16% of all of our programming January through September of this year. Under the confidence goal, we implemented a podcast in October, and we've got 7 podcasts completed to date with nearly 1,000 listens. So the goal here, and I'd like to just take a minute to talk to you about the podcast, because it is so new. Our goal here is to use our resources to the full effect to convey the mission and the brand of our department, with the objective to expand reach to new demographics through entertaining and informative storytelling and experience-driven testimonies while developing brand advocates. And we have yet to really talk to you, commissioners, to see how involved you want to be in this platform. I think it could be a very integral way to weave in how you make decisions on some of the key issues that are presented to you. So be thinking about that and what your role could look like going forward. And then, you know, we had some other social media tactics that were also implemented through some other partnerships and platforms that we already have. Instagram is a popular social media platform that we've been engaged in for a few years now, but launching videos and stories there pertaining to our new website and aquatic invasive species campaign. We also do Instagram takeovers with some of the parks. Good Earth took over our account in July to engage new users in a way that's visually compelling and gets them outdoors and engaged with what the park's doing on the ground. Geofencing technology for the AIS campaign at 4 Lewis and Clark boat ramps. That was last May through, earlier this year, so May through October. We had a radio campaign with Pandora. That was a first for us. The Custer State Park launched an interpretive app earlier this fall. And then we also have seen Facebook Messenger. It's a way for users to message us rather than email or post directly on our page or, you know, albeit send in a public comment. They'll send us messages through that platform, and that has really taken a front seat to our inquiries and engagements. Let's see. Where am I at? Oh, okay, so Board of Internal Controls. This is where we have ongoing efforts to implement all of our accountabilities for a transparent state government, and this impacts all state government agencies across the board. So we continue to implement those as directed. The reduction of barriers to public involvement and implementing new public channels there. So live streaming of our commission meetings continues. You guys know this. This is the 14th month that we've had live streaming, and it serves as another communication service or tool in the toolbox that we offer. I will note that these numbers really aren't anything to brag about. Day one numbers continue to be stronger than day two, depending upon the topic. Day two numbers really drop off significantly, almost by half, if not more. And there's definitely some barriers to that. the biggest one being that these meetings are during the middle of the work week, and there's a time commitment to them. And for those customers who are engaged, they know that we've been providing the audio after the fact on our website for, well, since 2011. And so that audio is then segmented out by topic, listed on the agenda, and so then they don't have to listen all the way through, and then it's also continues to be archived on SDNet. So the listening live numbers again aren't anything to brag about, but I can just kind of give you in the last year the days where we've seen the most engagement through live streaming would be back in November of 2017 when the Cattail Kettle hearing was on the docket, and then in July of this year with deer license allocation, and then again in September when we talked about fish limits spearing deer licenses again, and then in October. So again, it really depends on the topic and what people are interested in at the time. Again, looking at reducing barriers, so engaging in focus group and then comprehensive assessments like we did with our GPAs or game production areas to survey resident and non-resident hunters, evaluation and usage of those areas. And then again, we have our online public comment form. And you'd think we would have had that long before this year, but that was something that was new. And making it easier for people to just fill out that form and submit their public comment that way rather than sending the email. Also completing an effort as it relates to customer service to have parks offices sell hunting or angler licenses, and then having our wildlife offices across the state sell park entrance licenses. And so having those kiosks and flexibility and point of sale to be able to sell and cross-promote through our offices. And then I mentioned earlier the excellence goal is really about empowering our staff and ensuring that they are well-trained and have the tools to do their jobs successfully. Implementation of a comprehensive leadership development training. The first cohort had their class in September in Chamberlain, and I don't know any of results from that, but hopefully Emmett Keezer and Jeff Van Meteren will be providing you guys with an update in the short run. And then continue to improve internal communications through education of the strategic plan, quarterly newsletter. We have a department-wide phone list, and then in the regions, those joint department project efforts. And we're really looking at ways that we can optimize our internal communications and only enhance that moving forward. We requested $50,000 for construction of 4 additional full-service campsites to accommodate the work campers at a couple of our recreational areas, Randall Creek and Oahe Downstream. And so that's what I have for completed priorities. Again, not an all-inclusive list, but again, take a look at that one pager and hopefully some of the other items that I didn't get to mention will spark some interest or perhaps some questions or comments. So what's next? Progress updates. So we have progress updates that are really required every 3 months. The next ones will be due in January and March. We have in-person meetings every fall and every spring. The next meeting will be in April, April 15th and 16th. And then we continue with our communications and education. Executing a strategic plan is not easy. Implementation focuses on what really matters, applying extra efforts, learning and adapting, and collectively achieving meaningful results. We implemented a internal survey last December to gain feedback on what our staff thought about the implementation process and work direction of the strategic plan. Feedback from staff is critical to improve that implementation, increase engagement, and elevate performance measures. One of the biggest recurring themes received during that survey process was they wanted more education and awareness of the plan priorities. So really tying that back to how does the plan affect me and my daily work? Give me some more communication updates and relevancy of the plan to our field staff. So again, as a result of that, we developed the one pager that really serves as a quick read to identify where we're at and really helps to tell that story from the bottom up. And then we are going to my team and I are going to start telling some success stories from the field, and so we're going to engage in another video series that features our staff who've really implemented some of these strategic priorities on the ground and in the field. So that's something that will hopefully help with the optimization of our internal communications too going into 2019. And then I just have one last slide here that I want to read out loud to everybody. In closing, by maintaining our integrity, providing education, and continuing the excitement of where Game Fish and Parks is going in the years ahead, we strive to gain the natural support and reinvestment from our customers for the long term. And that's just something that I myself am hopeful that we can get to a point there too. I don't have anything else on the strategic plan, so if any of you would have any questions for me, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
On leadership, do all staff take leadership courses or talk a little bit about the leadership part of the...
The comprehensive leadership training that's been developed. So that is an application. And so there's an application and selection process for that, and then there was criteria that was also developed for folks on our leadership team to make decisions on who would then be part of the cohort that started in September. And I don't know all the details of that.
Is it just a one-time thing, or is it an ongoing process?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask my friend Emmett Keezer to come up to the table and answer that question for all of us.
Is he your friend?
He is my friend, yes. We're
Eminem.
Yes, sorry, Emmett.
Morning, Emmett.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. The Leadership Development Program is a project that Jeff Van Meter and our Regional Park Manager, Donda Yankton, and I have worked with actually a staff team to develop, and the initial cohort, I think we have 17 staff enrolled. The idea is that this is going to be a continuing process, and we'll have an additional cohort probably coming out here this spring. And so it's about a year and a half training program. And so it's pretty exciting. We've got a good training company that we've lined up, Lumen Advantage out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's a two-person, or actually three-person team. And they've thus far been pretty impressive. So
that's good. That's an important aspect of this division, is to develop that leadership within. And so that's good. That's
exactly. Good. Our next step is develop a supervisor training program, and we're in the early stages of that as well. So
great. Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Peterson.
Yeah, Commissioner Peterson, having watched you guys with this from the ground up, it's just great to see how you're implementing it, and, you know, it gives you a good guide yearly, you know, quarterly or whatever, and I just think you're putting it to really good use, having been a part of when you put it all together back in Chamberlain and what's different. Absolutely. Times, you're really using it well.
Thank you for those comments.
So it's been pretty solid ever since we put the plan together.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it don't look like there's a lot of changes. It's usable the way it is.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I give a very broad update to you guys as a project manager of sorts, but this takes a lot of work to implement, and it's definitely a department-wide effort, boots on the ground, bottom up. Type of plan, and that is exactly what Secretary Hepler envisioned from the beginning. And we continue to assess, and that's the important thing, because priorities change, people change, and, you know, even the values of our customers change, and so we have to be willing to adapt and modify the plan accordingly. And we did that through a gap analysis even this past spring, and so we'll likely do that again here in the spring coming up.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Chair, are you okay if I continue?
Yes.